This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
Thinking about universal consciousness as God or all that is may seem totally abstract and difficult to comprehend. But once you begin to understand how one universal consciousness is primary and that our personal consciousness is a part of that infinite ocean of consciousness, and that consciousness is creative and creates the physical as well as the non-physical, and that the universe, therefore, is one wholeness and is alive because consciousness is the same as life, and that the one consciousness is good and desires the experience of life to be good because that is the true expression of wholeness, then you begin to see how the universe and the workings of the universe make complete sense. The universe and God can be understood and related to. Well-being is holistic and includes all aspects of you, body, mind, and spirit. Awakening is and should be all about achieving greater well-being. That's a very good thing. And the goal of awakening should always be a happier, healthier, more abundant you. Valeria interviews Raymond Posch. He is the author of Awakening to Wholeness, How to Live Consciously, Creatively, and Abundantly. Raymond Posch is a podcaster, spiritual explorer and way shower, folk singer, writer, and speaker. His podcasts are Our Spiritual Life, running 4 years as of December 2023, and New Ways of Being, launched in November 2023. He loves exploring spiritual awakening and the evolution of human consciousness. He is the author of the book, Awakening to Wholeness. His earlier career was in information technology and project management. Meet Raymond at RaymondPosch.com. Here's the interview with Raymond Posch.
In your own words, who is Raymond Posch?
Well, yes, my name is Raymond Posch, and you can call me Ray. But to tell my story real quickly, I grew up on a farm in Missouri. I was very close to nature as a child. I think that had some influence on my life. In college, I was raised as a Catholic, but in college, I became an atheist, and I was an atheist for many years. And one day, something unusual happened to me that kind of woke me up. Do you want me to go into the details of that?
That would be my follow-up question, if you don't. But yeah, please do.
All right. So at the time, I was working as a software engineer. And one day at lunch hour, I decided to go to a bookstore and check out, computer books that I might be interested in there. So I went over there and found a book that by the title looked very interesting. It looked like something I was specifically interested in at the time. I picked up the book. I opened it to a random page, and there was my name. And that was a total shock. You know, it's like being in the airport and someone calls your name. And so I looked at that and I saw that the author quoted a software article that I had written and published. And so I looked at it and I thought, that's interesting. I don't know it. You know, I didn't know that I was in that book. I looked at the price of the book and it was quite expensive, $50. And I thought for a minute about buying it. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. And then, but I changed my mind. The next day I decided, well, I am going to go get that book. I went and got it. And I went and looked for it and it was no longer there. And I asked the clerk about it and he said they had packed it up. It was getting ready to go to the publisher. And I said, no, I'll take it. But here's the thing that had the impact on me. Again, at the time I was an atheist, and all of a sudden this happened, and I just had this very strong intuition that it was more than just a coincidence, that for some reason the universe was getting my attention and saying, hey, look at this, and maybe I need to look at the universe in a different way. And so to me, it was a bit of a wake-up call, and especially the fact that if I hadn't gone that day and discovered it there, that would have been my only chance to find that. So the second day, it would have been gone. And that put me onto a path of spiritual exploration, which I got heavily into for, you know, at least the next 10 years. I mean, very heavily reading book after book or taking certain trainings or listening to audios. And of course, I'm still into spiritual exploration. I very much am into learning, and the spiritual aspect is important to me. But so at that time, I suddenly got woken up to spirituality, or at that time, it was more the possibility that the universe is much more intelligent and personal than I realized. And so I was discovering that. And in my exploration, I learned a number of different things that became very important for me and influenced my book that I published 4 or 5 years ago called Awakening to Wholeness. But I had a career in information technology. I retired and in project management as well. And I retired from that a few years ago. And I started doing a podcast, which I published for 4 years. It's called Our Spiritual Life. And it was about spirituality in general. And in the last few months, I no longer put out new episodes on that podcast. I am putting out episodes on a new podcast called New Ways of Being. And that was all because I wanted to focus on what I realized is very important for me, and I think for the world today, that we need to step into new ways of being. We need to be a new kind of people in the world. I believe strongly that there's evolution of consciousness happening. And so my podcast that I'm doing now is very much focused on that. And I can tell you about much more that's going on in my life, but let me stop right there. And that's kind of brings me up to where I'm at today.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Ray. I did read, of course, and I have some information about you, but I, for the sake of making the podcast clear to listeners, I ask these open questions. Yes. Sure. You know, you said something interesting. You said, just paraphrasing you, the universe is more personal than we think. And to me, the realization is actually quite the opposite. We are more universal than personal than we believe. Mm-hmm. It's more like that we are life itself in the universe itself.
Yes.
And not personal at all. But we believe to be a person. And that might be the cause, the root cause of most of our suffering. I really feel that way. So, yeah, you were about to say, do you want to make a comment on that, Ray?
Well, so... in answer to that, you know, I've had some spiritual teachers along the way that have talked about the universe being impersonal, and but there's two different perspectives on this that I understand now, and what I believe is that there's a universal consciousness, and it's a singular one consciousness that in our essence we are part of. Our consciousness is a part of a greater consciousness. And so at one level, the universe is impersonal. It is unfolding. It has intelligence and life throughout the universe. And so there are aspects to the universe that definitely are impersonal. But the, you know, religions call that one consciousness God. And so I can call it God, or I can call it, you know, consciousness, or whatever other people prefer. But that consciousness can present itself as in a personal way. And we can interact in a personal way with the universe, is my experience.
Yes, it feels very much like that. Of course, from the bodily sensations and thoughts, like I do, you know, I have been exploring this for a long time too. And I have been kind of exposed to the idea a long time ago that we don't create our thoughts.
Right.
And then I have been since then experimenting with that. Uh-huh. And that's so much true. I mean, it has been my experience. Of course, we don't create thoughts. They just appear. And it feels like that's what it's happening right now, you know, in this reality that we are sharing. It's just, we are just appearing. Mm-hmm. It's as if this is just smoke-like or dream-like reality for which there is a cause to it. There is, let's say, an absolute reality, which is some people call it God, pure consciousness. And that to me really feels true, Ray, that this is the appearance in the mirror. So it's not really the real me or the real you or anything here. It's not that it's not real. It's just that's not the whole truth. And I'm always looking for the fire. Uh-huh. Where you see smoke, there's fire. So I want to see what the fire is. I want to be in touch with the fire, and not only the smoke, not only the things I see, as in body mind. Actually, the experience of being here now in the body and experience this everything through my mind, really. So I wanted to. That's my whole experiment, to just go deeper and deeper into the investigation of that. And it has been interesting so far, really interesting.
Well, I agree completely. I find it totally fascinating. And what I've believed for a long time is that we are intended to live a life unlike what most people are living. You know, most people would say the life is a struggle, it's difficult, and I believe a lot of that's because the way we've been operating in the world is very much based on the belief in separation, and we're dominated by our ego, which is programming that we've accumulated throughout our life. And but I've come to know that the universe is good, or we could say God is completely good. Since I discovered that the universe is one great wholeness, and that wholeness is a key aspect of the universe and of ourselves and how we participate in the universe, it has really, really influenced how I think about it. And, you know, I think we really are meant to be more whole in ourselves and more wholly into the life of the universe that's unfolding.
Yes.
So that's one thing, you know, there, what you said brings up many different thoughts in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
So we can go a lot of different ways, but what I've learned over the years has really influenced me. And I believe, you know, what we're intended to do is become more whole, more and more fully into our own well-being in every aspect, body, mind, spirit. And we can do that.
Yes, beautifully said. See, the idea of wholeness, right? I love that that's your book title, Awakening to Wholeness. That word, there's something about it that inspired me to think about completeness, limitless, infinite, something that's already what it's supposed to be. So there's nothing missing, nothing lacking. You mentioned about becoming whole. I remember thinking about writing a book and that the title would be Becoming. So that was the whole idea behind it, becoming whole. And then I realized that I was already whole, that I couldn't possibly add anything. So there's something about this feeling of incompleteness, of something that something's lacking, that really resonates with separateness. I think we are not, as you said, there's no separation here. We are one with the universe, with God, life itself. So, and if that's true, then what is to be done then, if everything's perfect as it is? Then to me, I'm a student of Vedanta, so I study Advaita Vedanta. I'm not sure if you heard about this Hindu philosophy of non-duality. So they are very clear with the teachings. They say the only thing we can do is to polish the mirror. it's basic to clean up, clear our minds so we can, you know, it's almost like cleaning, polishing the lens through which we see the world in ourselves. It's the only thing we can do, really. So it's not really that we are not. We're already what we are looking for, but we don't have the right lens. We are not seeing through clean, clear lens. So that resonates with me as well. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a very good way to express what I've learned, and I think I understand what that is saying. And in fact, there's been a number of books that have really influenced me greatly. But and I've followed a lot of what Deepak Chopra has to say, and he's published this wonderful series of newsletters on LinkedIn called Reinventing Life. And in that, he really helps people understand that consciousness is the source of everything. And that, and he uses the word wholeness to refer to when we can get to the level of insight, I would say understanding, but one of the keys is it's more about awareness than thinking. So I'm trying to make that point, but he uses wholeness to mean that once we really realize at a deep level that our body, our mind, our spirit, the whole world, in fact, arises from one consciousness, then if we really know into that and feel into it, it begins to change everything for us. Just like you said, we could say that getting that clearer is like polishing a mirror in a way. I hadn't thought of that metaphor, but yes, it's one of the big lessons that I've learned recently is not only is that true, but we create our own experience of life, that we are the creator. You know, we grow up being taught that no, the world's as it is out there, and we're just a victim to the world, whatever's unfolding. But no, I really believe that we are intended to be the creators of our life, and that should be a wonderful experience. And so getting to that knowing is what life, you know, we look at it as that's what life has been about, to get to that knowing so that we can fully experience our own creation in our life, in the world.
Yes. There is an interesting kind of feeling and sense that we are, see, creating something, making something happen. But I really intuitively feel that that's coming from, again, from a place of separateness. Because there's no really, it's universal. That whatever is here, it is the universe expressing itself. So there's no really no one creating anything. No one as in somebody separate from pure consciousness, God. So when I mentioned earlier about creating our thoughts, we don't create our thoughts. So if we don't create our thoughts, that means we don't create anything, really. If we could do that, we would make this experience very differently. We would be happy all the time, peaceful all the time, if we were able to do that. And I know that this probably Deepak could explain that in his own way. But there's, I always go by my own first person experience. First, not even person. I said the word person, but just a way of saying body, mind. But there is something here that really informs me through experience that it just does what it does. It's not really, the interpretation's coming from the ego that you spoke of earlier, the feeling of being separate from. And then there's the judgment we tend to with that kind of mind, filtered mind, or not. Impure mind, we judge everything. It's almost like judging God in a way, when mm-hmm. we say, I know everything's wrong. What's going on with the war and all this, and get upset about things. It really feels that way these days. So the deeper I go into it in an experiential way, the more I feel that. And the more peaceful I feel as well when I just let go of, you know, the idea of being somebody, being someone, being a person, and just kind of embody more of that universal intelligence that you spoke of, which to me is God.
Mm-hmm.
So does it make sense to you at all? I mean, I'm just talking about the things that I have learned to recently in wondering if you, if it resonates with you somehow.
It absolutely does. And a couple of books that have really influenced me. One is a book called Conversations with God, Book 4, Awaken the Species, by Neil Donald Walsh. And it's a conversation that he had with God, and God said in the book, you know, one of the things he said is, yes, we are us, each human being is complete and whole and perfect as we are. Yes. And that, and God individualizes, you know, creates us as individuations of universal consciousness, one consciousness of itself, in other words, of God. And so through us, I believe that God is experiencing an individualized life on earth in form. Mm-hmm. And of course, God as in entirety is without form, but God is experiencing and experiencing form through us. And one of the things that he wants us as that individualized being to experience is creation. The process, you know, creating is the most incredible thing we can do in life. Or to say it another way, to participate in creation with the universe. Mm. All right. I'm agreeing with you. Another book that greatly influenced me is one I've been studying over the last 3-4 months, a book called The Wisdom of the Council. And it is channeled wisdom. And the channel is Sarah Landon, who put it into book form and published it. But this wisdom from the council, advanced beings somewhere in the universe that she channels, they share so much wisdom, and it just has spoken to me so strongly. But one of the big things they emphasize is that we are meant to participate in creation. And one of the things that they talk about throughout is something very important for us to do in order to reach that stage of participation is to open and allow, simply open and allow spirit to work through us in form. This is a topic we could get off into.
Oh my God, yes.
Very long conversation.
For sure, no doubt about it. I love these conversations, I have to tell you. I love them. It's every time I hear you saying, you know, creating with the universe or God. And so that's those words, the way you phrase it, it's already implies separateness. It's interesting, right? To just notice every time I say I, I'm like, who is I? Who am I?
Yes.
You see, the I is really the universe. That's God. Every time we say I, that's it. That's the universe. Everything else, it's just that appearance again. It's just that that dreamlike reality. I really don't feel like we are experiencing this as any something separate, co-creating. That also implies that there is free will. I heard a lot about that too. Mm-hmm. But I always go back to freedom. I always go back to fundamental truth. So who needs free will when we are free already? We have freedom. So that's available because we are whole. We are already where we are supposed to be. So it's an interesting thing. I don't know, Ray. It really feels to me like there is a lot of, it has become a business too, this spirituality and all these messages. I just see that clearly as well. I've been doing this for a while now, and I have written books myself, and I have interviewed so many people. And I see that there's a lot of this, it's almost like holding on to this belief system that can support our constructed reality. So the constructed reality that I speak of, it's really ignorance in a sense of ignoring what is true, what is the essence of this, which we call life. So I think there is this, every time I hear people saying, oh, we need to do this in order to become whole, in order to find God, there's like tons of steps, and it's not real to me, because we are already what we are looking, exactly what we are looking for. God itself.
Right.
Not as an individual person, but it's everything that is happening at the same time, which is hard to take in. I know for a mind that has not been clear when it comes to that.
Yes, that's it. I believe what you said is absolutely true. It is I believe that is the fundamental reality. But there's a couple things going on here. One is God has chosen to create a physical universe for God itself to participate in, and it chooses to participate in the form of a human being, or many human beings on this planet called Earth. And so I said I was very into spiritual exploration, and that's all about seeking and, you know, trying to figure it out. But what I've learned is, well, there's a point where we need to stop trying to figure it out, stop trying to understand it conceptually, feel into it, and allow it to express itself through us. And I think that's what you're saying. So I'm saying it in the words I know right now. But we unfortunately we do have to go on in this human form. We have to go through this learning process to get to a point where we say, oh, I am greater than I think, and open and allow and surrender to that and allow it. Mm-hmm.
Yes, right. Yes, yes. So that's the end of seeking, right?
Yes.
I have an interview actually scheduled with that theme. The end of seeking. That's when you realize that you're already it. So there's nothing really missing, nothing lacking. You're already at peace. It doesn't mean that it's something that happens effortlessly. There's, again, goes back to that metaphor of polishing the mirror. Mm-hmm. So there's some work to do. We have this this awareness of each moment and being present, which for me has been allowing chaos to be chaos, the unacceptable to be accepted. And that's what I see love and freedom very much connected. It's not we call the a human thing, but the physical thing. But if we really look closer, there's everything's non-physical. Even scientists cannot find.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's no. The formless is form, and form's formless. I think in the Upanishads, they have that. That's in Buddhism. So it's clear to me that that's exactly the dance. It's what it seems to be physical, it's non-physical. In what seems to be real, it's real as long as it lasts, like a dream. And we don't know really what will happen after. So after we lose the body and all that, when it's gone. So this, there's something about this present moment here. I think Eckhart Tolle, you actually mentioned him too in one of your posts, one of the books that you have read. Is The Power of Now. I have read that book too. Mm-hmm. You see, but that even that implies time, implies, you know, I love to, the concept, I love concepts of the placeless place, you know, timeless now. It's not really timed anything because time doesn't really exist. So it's really, it's living in a realm of just being. And that's the word that you use. A new ways of being.
Yes.
I think being might be closer to that power fundamental message than now for some reason. So I like that better.
Yes. Right. Yes. Being is so important. I mean, if we allow ourselves to be divinity expressing through us, and so we're here to experience this, but it, yeah, that those two words actually go together. You know, being means we have to experience it. We don't think about it. Yes. We don't do it. We have to experience it and feel it right now.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, that's the if we have to use words, right? Language to express something that we can't really express with words or concepts.
Right.
the being, that really resonates with me. Yes, just being. And I love for what you, the way you label yourself, spiritual podcaster, way shower, voice of love. That caught my attention immediately when I saw that on your website. So I just mentioned earlier, you know, my idea of love. So love, freedom, it's one and the same. They're not detached. Like everything's connected, really. But there's something about this idea of love when it's seen through the lens of humans who believe that they are only physical entities, then it changes. It becomes something good, something fluffy, something that feels wonderful. So, but I don't know. And then when we look through the lens, if we could, even for a glimpse, for a second of consciousness, pure consciousness, then it would be freedom. Everything is included and nothing is pushed. It wouldn't push anything away. God would never push anything away. It's open to everything there is, even the half reality of this that we are sharing right now. So it's open to everything. So my question is, what is your idea of love? Perhaps from both perspectives or one, if you can share that.
Well, I think we have to come from the lifetime experiences we have with love. And, you know, and so people can associate with that or begin to by, you know, thinking about like romantic love experiences that they've had and how they relate to other people. You know, that feeling that's underneath of caring and allowing and accepting. Those aspects are all important. Of course, love is this very big thing. I mean, we can think about it in a lot of different compartments, I guess, you know, kindness and respect and compassion. But it's, as you were implying, it's really much deeper than that. It's something that's absolutely universal. It exists in the physical universe. It exists in the non-physical universe, I guess we could say. Yeah, and it is a part of the universe. You know, I've heard spiritual teachers talk about it in terms of a power. When I first started really beginning to understand what wholeness really is, and it took me a long time. It came to me. I had this message come to me in the middle of the night to learn to experience wholeness and share it with others. Mm-hmm. And I had just begun at that time. I had just gotten a glimpse of what that might be, what wholeness is, and I went off trying to read about it and learn about it. And at the time, very few people talked about the idea of wholeness. So it took me a while to really dig into it and begin to find a real understanding of it. But and it's most correctly understood by experiencing it. But it's, you know, once I began to understand what that was, that the universe is a great whole. It is held together by love and this, I have to use the word wholeness, but it's held together by love. And it is also the power of behind creation. It, you know, so it's a big, big word. We can break it down many different ways, but the more that we can understand the depth of it and experience love and to know it deep inside, you know, the better. And that's a process that probably takes most people through learning to love themselves. And then, mm-hmm. you know, I reached a point where I realized I was loving all of life and the whole of the universe. And that might be a kind of the most complete way of talking about it. But most people have a very limited view of what love is. And they think of it only in terms of I love other people, or I, you know, some people have the capacity to love all people at once, or and to love the whole world at once. Loving the whole universe and all of existence is a bigger leap. But yes, freedom is also an aspect of love. I agree with you. Because we have to be free to allow ourselves to be who we truly are, to really love ourselves. And that doing that, getting to that level of freedom, then allows us to love all of life, all, you know, I could say even, you know, love all of the universe, even though that's, if you think about it, is very abstract, and most people can't relate to it, but I can relate. Mm. I can relate to it because I'm a part of all of that. And in fact, I am all of that, just as you said. But that's a big leap for most people to understand that they are God. You know,
yes.
But if
my God, yeah, right, that's it.
If people did understand it, it would change the world immediately. Mm. If we see God in every other person and in everything, it changes our relationship to all of those things. So to me, that's one of the, I would love to see us get to that level of being, that we are being God expressing in form. Yep. So we have to, that lets us understand that we are an individual being and universal being simultaneously.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's, yes. I would love to see all of us get to that understanding and that experience, you know, much.
Right. Most importantly, the experience of that. Right. Yeah. Being. I love that. Yeah. The being really, it really talks to me, because then we rely on our own experience, intimate experience of reality, of existence, in trying to understand with our minds, which is fun too, isn't it? Having this conversation, right. Reading all the books, and it's a lot of fun for me. But then that's where I draw the line a lot of times. Okay, this is fun, but it's not really. Right. It's just words. And Ray and I, we are just not, it's not you and me. It's just one thing happening here. There's no two, really. So going back to the idea of wholeness, that word, that's another word that is just opens my heart, my human heart here. So being wholeness, and you mentioned them all, love. So I had an interesting experience the other day. You know, the time change is called daylight savings. Mm-hmm. Yes, right. They have this change. So I live in Florida. Some states in the United States, they don't change the time. I'm not sure. But here they changed about 2 or 3 days ago. And then at the same time, we had a construction happening around. Like somebody was changing the house next door, changing the roof. Mm. Oh, my God. That was, and I'm a night owl. So I went to bed late and I didn't realize any of it. And then in the morning, I had to wake up, and then I needed to sleep, and the noise was there. And then I was kind of, I was asking for truth, because that's what I do as a prayer, as a form of meditation. I ask, what's the truth in this moment? What am I to see? What thoughts can I have, can come to me that can help in this moment? And then a thought came of being grateful to be able to hear anything, to hear any sound. So the experience of sound in the first place. So, and then said to me, oh, think of it as if it was nature, like thunder and lightning and heavy rain. And that helped me to go back to sleep amidst the chaos. And then later on in a day, I was really cranky. The body, mind, they were just all over the place because of the not enough sleep. And then I also realized how important sleep is. And in a way, it's another message came to me as if we need that almost to recharge, in a sense of resetting what we are not aware of, that we are non-humans. So most of the time we are under this belief that we are humans only, mm-hmm. and we forget the other part. So perhaps sleep, that's the way that we recharge, by going back to the unknown and being
right.
universal again. And then, Ray, what came to me, another thing, was gratitude. So the only thing that really kept me going throughout that day was gratitude. I was not happy. I was not in love with anything. Love was not there. Happiness, those feelings. Kindness is always there for some reason. Maybe because I practiced my entire life to be kind. But gratitude, being grateful for the simple things, just being here. That word again, being, just being here. So in the end, it's almost like gratitude would arise as soon as we realize that we are God. This is a universal experience and not personal. It feels like gratitude would be the next human feeling, the guiding principle for the so-called human experience. I don't know. Does it resonate with
it
you
does.
At all?
It does. You know, gratitude is a very important attitude and feeling. I know a lot of spiritual seekers who have a practice of gratitude, and that's a great thing. But if it's the kind of thing that, to me, it's opening to it naturally when you can stop and allow yourself to appreciate yourself as a being in your beingness. And through your senses, you sense the world around you. And like, I'm looking out my window right now, and there's this beautiful tree. We had a snowstorm last night, so it's covered with snow, but it's quite beautiful. And to simply appreciate that, have gratitude for that, and have gratitude for being alive, for being in the experience of life is so important. And one thing I want to mention before we run out of time is you talked about wholeness. And so wholeness is a very big thing. Many people use it just to mean like physical and mental health. But wholeness in its true sense is the completeness and the perfection of the whole universe. And so another word that goes with that for me is well-being. Wholeness and well-being. The more that we can appreciate all that we are and that word all is important as well, appreciate our whole nature, body, mind, spirit, and how they are all one, interrelated. I think the more we can grow into that wholeness and understand ourselves as a whole, and the universe as a whole, and the world as a whole, and nurture that wholeness, then we become healthier beings in every way. And so when we are in that state of well-being, yes, gratitude to me is a very natural flowing part of that. We stop and appreciate who we are and what we have, appreciate the world right in front of us, around us, appreciate the fact that another person is part of the divine whole, that and that we can have, there's a spiritual teacher named Patricia Albert who does really fantastic work in talking about unity consciousness and actually teaching people to experience unity consciousness at a very deep level. And so that's, again, that's something that is a part, you know, if I would say, what would I like to see in a perfect world? It is all of that.
Yes. Beautifully said, right? Yes. And I love how you came back to that mass, that word, specifically wholeness, which I've seen here throughout your everything that you write, or the blog posts that I had access to in your book, starting with the title of your book. And also the way you talk about wholeness in the sense of, you say, that really resonated too. You say, wholeness is about being integrated, balanced, energized, and guided by divine intelligence. So that's really, when we come to understand that, then everything shifts. I'm being guided. And it's not even the I. I think if we could drop the I, would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Just being guided, no I, because I, it's already the fundamental truth. It is God. So that's really beautiful. And something else you said, we're almost at the end. I know. I almost want to end the conversation. Is you talked about the law of wholeness. So you say that your book explains how the law of attraction works and how to use it more effectively, because the law of attraction is part of the law of wholeness. Mm-hmm. I never heard it that way. So I never heard this term, law of wholeness. That would be an interesting book for you.
Yeah, you know, among the universal laws, it's one that's not talked about often. And I think that's probably unfortunate, because when I began to understand wholeness and experience wholeness in myself, then kind of I reached this realization that, you know, like there's been such an attitude in the world, you know, it might be stronger in the United States. I don't know, but I think it's been certainly in the Western world that, you know, we're here in this world, planet Earth, to dominate, to do what we want with it, you know, and so we see that what we've come to from that in the state of the world now, with a new mass extinction underway, with so much damage in our environment and in the oceans, et cetera, climate change. But without going into that in any kind of depth, you know, what it says is we don't have an appreciation of the wholeness that we are a part of. And so to change that, we have to begin to have more of an appreciation that we are part of something whole and much greater than any of us individually. And so we have, because we are directly, for example, our health is directly influenced by the health of the whole, earth. Right. And so if we're damaging the health of the earth, we are damaging ourselves. We're damaging our health. So it's a very, very big thing, but...
Oh, my God. I would love for you to write that book.
That's a part of the law of wholeness, is that having that appreciation that we are not separate from anything around us.
Right. Yeah. From that realization, appreciation and gratitude arises. It's a natural flow of energy, if we can call it that. It just arises. I noticed that the more I realize that I'm not an individual separated from anything else, then there's nothing here that needs to work on gratitude. It's just thoughts will come in and just kind of guide the body mind when it's facing challenges or when it's out of harmony or something. Like in nature, you see that in nature.
Yes.
Right? It's always seeking harmony when something happens.
Yeah. You know, I've reached a state of growth that I'm in my the state of awareness and beingness more and more of the time. And what I notice is I've heard about people talk about journaling for years, and I've experimented with it at different times, but I've over the last few months I've gotten into fairly regular journaling, and in doing that, and it helps me stop and just pay attention to my own state of being. And when I do that, then one of the things I notice I always write is, today I am blessed. I'm grateful for this or this or this. I'm great. You know, one of the things I wrote this morning was, I was grateful seeing the birds that are outside my door. They were eating seed that I had put out. And, you're totally right on. Gratitude becomes a very natural part the more that you are in a state of being.
Yes. It doesn't surprise me that we have these beautiful thoughts, like you write, I'm blessed, I'm grateful for. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. That's coming from that place. And it feels always fresh too. There's something about that. And I think the more we journaling too, as a practice, I see that, and it's so clear to see the thoughts that are stagnated. It's almost like the old recorder just playing back the mm-hmm. same thing, just repeating things. Mm-hmm. And that's, we clearly see that somehow the body, mind, the mind, it's not separate from God, but there's something about the mind as a tool that it loves recording things. It's very sticky. So it's important to realize that too, so we know what is...
What I've learned about journaling is that it is a very useful tool because it balances, it lets us use thinking. If we approach journaling and, you might start off many different ways, but if you quickly move into a more of a state of awareness or beingness, that journaling then is a nice way that we shift into mind for thinking about, something and what we want to write down. And it becomes a powerful way to use the mind while being in a state of awareness.
Yes. It really, really, really does, becoming more aware or turning our attention to something else. Because a lot of times we see that with the depression, anxiety, negative thinking, that people do just the focus, the attention, which is consciousness, God, kind of focusing on only specific thoughts over and over and over again. So it's journaling. That's what happens when we write. There's so much power there. Something happens and we see the possibilities, that there are so many other possibilities for shifting attention, so much more that we can do with our attention,
right,
instead of focus on one thing. Oh, excuse me. So we are almost at the end. It has been wonderful to talk to you, Ray. Thank you so much for your presence, for being open to this conversation too. Thank you.
And thank you for having me here. I've enjoyed our conversation as well. It's been delightful. And, I would just add one thing to the audience. Awareness is important. I mean, if you're looking for ways of how to step more into beingness, it begins with being self-aware. And so there are many different ways to approach that. Journaling is one way. Meditation is certainly the way that most people use, or mindfulness, to shift into awareness. But anything that helps you expand your awareness and helps you be in awareness as opposed to thinking, those are two different things. So it's shifting out of thinking into being aware. And so be aware of your body, be aware of what you're feeling, what you're thinking. But awareness is the most powerful thing to work on it at any given time.
Mm, yes. Gosh, yes. Beautifully said too. What a insightful message. Right. Awareness will eventually show us the truth. That's really the path. It is awareness. I absolutely agree. So I want to mention again your book. The title is Awakening to Wholeness, How to Live Consciously, Creatively, and Abundantly. You also host two podcasts, Our Spiritual Life and New Ways of Being. I think you mentioned that you are now only hosting New Ways of Being, right, Ray? Am I?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I'm right.
Our Spiritual Life is still out there and 108 episodes available for listening if you're interested in learning about spirituality generally or hearing conversations with other people talking about spirituality. But all of my new podcast episodes are now being done in New Ways of Being. And again, my focus is on the being and helping people appreciate what that is and how that can change their lives.
Yes, beautiful. So your website is raymondposh.com. So I'll have the link clickable on the podcast notes, so it's easier that way. And also the book link will be there. One more question for you, Ray. Do you also offer guidance in the sense of coaching, spiritual coaching, or anything like that? Do you meet people one-on-one?
Currently, I do not, but I think that is coming for me very soon. I think that's a part of what I'm being guided to do. I went through a big shift several months ago of, stop trying to force things to happen and to let the universe guide me. And I know that I'm going to be offering services soon, but I've not announced that yet.
Okay, that's wonderful to know. Yeah, that question came to me for a reason, I see. Yeah, thank you so much again. That would be wonderful to have you within the realm of coaching, spiritual coaching. It's very much needed in the sense of shifting from belief, faith, even trust to being guided, to knowing what we are, not who we are, but what. Thank you so much again and for your beautiful presence and timeless wisdom. And we'll talk again. We'll be in touch again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye for now, Ray.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Raymond Posh and his work, please visit raymondposh.com.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.